thinking that now's as good as any juice I'm drinking.
Hey, Scotty.
Yeah.
What's it gonna be?
A gin and tonic sounds mighty, mighty good to me. Man, I know I've gotta go. It's the same thing every time. But I don't think another drink's gonna make me lose my mind. So I think about my next drink. And it's you and me and the bottle makes three tonight. Isn't my favorite water and hole. I says, hey, Mo, how you doing? Where have you been? He says, I've been fine with my whiskey, wine, and gin. Man, I know I gotta go. It's the same thing every time. But I don't think another drink's gonna make me lose my mind. So I think about my next drink. And it's you and me, and the bottle makes three tonight. Come on, Dad, let's go.
Welcome to the roundtable, this ad hoc roundtable for March 8th. We couldn't do it Thursday, so we're doing it today. That's a little Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, me and you and me in the bottle tonight. That song was featured in the movie Swingers back in the 90s, Vince Vaughn and John Favreau. Actually, a pretty funny movie, but it felt like, appropriate today, given the fact that I think everybody's lost their freaking minds over the last couple of weeks. Thursday, was it Thursday or Friday when Trump came out with this dumbass comment about, you know, Iran's got, they've got minutes left, days left. The next few days are going to be interesting. We could take the nuclear route or we could go the peaceful route. Yeah, whatever, dude. Just say it. We're going to attack Israel we're going to attack Iran at Israel's request because that's what we fucking do. That's who our new regime reports to is the Zionists. So, yeah, stay tuned. All right, gents, where do you want to start? You want to start on this or you want to start somewhere else? There's tons of stuff that we were going to talk about.
You're the boss. Take your pick.
There's Gonzo. Yes, hey, Gonzo. That's your call sign now. By the way,
woohoo!
You picked it. So let's start with Trump's Iran stuff. Let's go down that rabbit hole. Who wants to start?
I'll let Dave go first.
Did you say rant or Iran?
I ran.
No, you're gonna have to bring me up to speed on that one.
So Trump was in the Oval Office during a presser and brought up the subject of Iran. Basically, this is what he said. There's going to be an attack on Iran's nuclear facilities and delivery systems. It's either going to be by us or by the Israelis. And he was alluding to the fact that the Israelis were going to attack, and I'm sure he was trying to get ahead of it, but it's the, to be perfectly honest, the stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard. In a presser, no less. And this plays right into what's, you know, well, I can't think of the guy's name that was on Tucker that talked about how Netanyahu has wanted us to attack Israel, and there's five states, and we've gone to war with all of them. And now Trump is telegraphing that we're going to go to war with Iran.
Well, first thing I'd say about that is Trump certainly realizes that Iran has been working, essentially taking suggestions or directives, however you want to call that, from Russia and Putin. And we saw over the last 6 months where they had opportunities to, you know, strike back pretty hard at Israel, and they walked up to the line and they basically backed away. They were the adult in the room, and they kept a cool head. And I would think behind the scenes that Trump realizes that, and that if Trump is going to have any likelihood of success in negotiations regarding Ukraine, that that he's got to stay reasonable with Putin on some of these other issues, like Iran. So I would tend to think a lot of that is just, you know, chest beating, posturing, stuff like that. And Trump doesn't particularly like to talk about tactics if it's something he's actually going to do. He'll point that out every once in a while. He doesn't reveal what's on deck. So if he says there's going to be a strike, I'm just tending to think it's less likely it's going to come from us.
Yeah, I tend to agree, Dave. I agree with you, Steve, that I think it was idiotic, but it could be like his standard op of trolling, you know, just like he's done with Greenland and the Panama Canal and everything else. It could just be all his art of the deal kind of strategies.
You know, I'm done. Let me just get this rant out of the way, because it's been bugging me all day. You know, it was great to hear that Disney is swirling the bowl, because they need to fucking die, along with several other liberal media outlets and child grooming organizations that are swirling the bowl right now. But the last thing we need, I mean, trolling Canada, trolling Greenland, that's one thing. But, you know, his actions to pull support for Ukraine, pull the intel support, et cetera, great move, right? It's causing Iraq and back this up or deny it, one of the two. But it's causing action on the battlefield, good, bad, or indifferent. And he wants that to end. The world wants that to end. And that's where his priority should be. Iran's not a threat. They haven't been a threat. This bullshit that they're going to get how many fucking years have we been hearing Iran's going to have the bomb next month? They're going to have it next month.
Right.
Next month, fuck you. I'm done listening to that. I'm done hearing what we need to do to, you know, garner Israel's fucking safety. I'm sick of it. I'm so sick of it. I'm tired. So, and this plays right into the Epstein tapes and the Epstein information and Pam Bondi's bullshit. I mean, to deflect away from the fact that she's got to go redact everything that has Israel in it for the Epstein tapes, she's going to go start an investigation in anti-Semitism, what, University of Columbia or some bullshit university? Really? I mean, could they be any more transparent who the fuck they work for? I mean, really, that's where my frustration is. Like, I didn't put them in office to watch them spend American lives for the fucking Jewish state. I'm done listening to this nonsense that we're tied because of the Bible. That version of the Old Testament was rewritten in 1908, and it's basically watered down. But if I look at everything that Mossad and, you know, Whitney Webb will say it's more than just, you can't just say it's one nation. It's a cabal of all these different players that are Zionists, and it's a global, international, yeah, whatever. What I see right now is AIPAC and the State of Israel driving our foreign policy. And that gets under my skin like a fucking rash, because that's not what we need right now. We need to see people perp walked. We need to see people held accountable for treason. We need to cut the spending. We need to usher in some austerity measures so we don't collapse as a nation economically. And instead, what are we talking about? Attacking somebody else.
100%. And Steve, the question I've got is, you would think that Ukraine was also indirectly pursuing Israeli goals. So it's almost like obfuscation as they pivot away from Ukraine towards Iran now, I guess. How do you explain that with in regards to AIPAC and everything?
Well, they're all intertwined. I mean,
right. But what I'm saying is, right? It seems to me that Ukraine was a Zion globalist, you know, pet project, and to let Ukraine fall or collapse or whatever goes against things that I would have thought the Zionists were supporting. So if I see what you're saying and say that's the case, then I have to say they must be just pivoting away from Ukraine for their own reasons. And now they're moving on, you know, shifting the focus of Eye of Sauron to Iran, basically.
Well, let's back up a little bit. So let's go back to November of 2020. And this is a question for the audience. How many people in November of 2024 thought that Trump was going to get elected president, given all the malfeasance that had gone on for the last 4 years with the voting systems and the election systems in every one of the swing states? How many people actually thought he was going to get into office? What were we preparing for?
You're right.
We were preparing for civil war.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, the entire programs went full stop and then switched and went in another direction.
Right. Now, one argument could be that they thought that they knew they couldn't win.
Wow. There's a million reasons. We danced around it. Originally, we weren't thinking there was even going to be an election, right?
Right.
But, and I do believe that, you know, things got probably beyond their capacity for handling. I also tend to think that there was probably some stuff behind the scenes, call it electronic countermeasures, but some steps that have been taken to prevent, some of the direct action and influence that occurred electronically and otherwise 4 years prior. They won't talk about that, but I think that's probably the case. And I also think that when Kamala dished Shapiro in Pennsylvania and the time came for them to do their midnight bullshit where they have trucks rolling and backfill all kinds of votes and fraud, I think Shapiro said, you know what, I'd rather run 4 years from now. I'm not going to play her game. And he stopped that in Pennsylvania, which was critical. And I think when the governor of Michigan saw that happening, she put a halt to it. And I think that prevented that cascade effect of bushel loads of votes coming in at midnight. I think that had a major impact as well.
I definitely think there was an operation that took place, you know, over the election. But my point is that the public was bracing for conflict. And this goes back to the whole conversation about Q and you know, that whole psyop. And, you know, I said early on when all that shit was mainstream in 2020 and 2019, I said the same thing I'm going to say right now, that if it turns out that there was this big operation going on in the background and only a few people were privy to it, and they were using it to break the ties to Israel, which doesn't appear to be that way right now, and the ties to the quote-unquote satanic cabal or whatever it is. My answer is still going to be the same. That's great. Now go fuck yourselves. Because you had 150 million Americans that would have gladly picked up arms and taken back this country. And this conversation that, oh, we wanted to keep it peaceful. Here's what I see. I see that a bunch of rich assholes, bankers, tech bros, and, you know, AIPAC billionaires got together and said, we can't keep going in the same direction. So we need to make sure we bring somebody in that's favorable to the American people to keep the status quo for another 4 years until we get whatever system we're trying to put together in the background put together. And that's what I see. I don't see anything different than the previous regime other than the appearance they're trying to clean up the border, the appearance that they're trying to go after people that committed treason. Because look, nobody's been arrested yet. There's been no calls for any investigations. There's been no arrests. Nobody's been perp walked. They haven't released any information. It's all been cursory. It's all been superficial. And they haven't done anything to other than the Doge stuff, which I think is just theater, because have they really cut any payments anywhere? And from what I understand, the only people they've cut out of the government are low-level people that were within a few years of being hired, which they're still in some kind of a probationary period, from what I understand. And I could be wrong about that. But none of the senior managers, with the exception of a few SESs, have been fired. So what's different? To me, nothing's different. It's the same shit, different day, with just a new boss. Old boss needs to move. New boss is just as worse.
I don't know how many people have actually lost jobs. I've got friends that work in the Beltway who tell me there's like 10 times more houses available around the Beltway this year, like this time this year, than there was this time last year. And I do know that there's a lot of people very nervous about things. I still think it's still fairly early to start evaluating Trump. I agree. We haven't seen anybody perp walk yet, but we've only had Patel in place for, 2 weeks or something?
Patel is the only guy I'm giving a break to. Pam Bondi, I give her another 4 months, she'll be out. Because, look, here's the reality of the situation. They've created an existential crisis for themselves where they have to do something, because he's losing his base rapidly. His base is pissed off. They don't want to see, just like me, nobody wants to hear another fucking thing about what we need to do for Israel. No one wants to hear that anymore. Nobody wants to hear the whole anti-Semitic thing or the domestic terrorist thing or the white nationalist or any of that other bullshit, because it's all a construct from that whole organization. What people want to see is accountability. That's what they want to see. And right, like this ruling with the Supreme Court, if I was Trump and that federal judge, you know, legislated from the bench, I would be pushing right now to impeach that motherfucker. And both Roberts and Amy Coney Barrett should be impeached. Both of them. They fucking know that that's unconstitutional. They both know it. And they still ruled anyway. Fucking impeach him. Get rid of him. I'm past the point of giving a fuck about the optics or the politics or any of the rest of it. In fact, I'm so frustrated, I'm going to go back to what I would have done back in 2020. I'm ready to roll into D.C., with two fucking divisions and just arrest everybody and sort them all out of Gitmo. What the fuck did you do last week? Go to Gitmo. What the fuck did you do last week? Go to Gitmo. Seriously, that's where this is at. At least in my mind, that's where it's at.
Well, I agree. This supports what you're saying. Look at the State of the Union address he just had. Now, granted, there was all the theatrics between the two sides and everything, and the glaring at the Democrats and all of that. But, you know, Pelosi, all the fucking criminals just sitting there right in front of Trump And they, if USAID, all the Doge stuff is real, he has everything he needs to go. We're going to arrest. He could have literally said, we're arresting every person who's benefited from USAID here right now. And he missed that opportunity.
Well, this goes back. I was just going to say real quick. I said 6 months ago, if I were Trump, I would have had people investigating members of Congress, and I would have had federal marshals in there arresting sitting members of Congress for financial misdeeds right out of the gate.
Or at least some of them, like you're saying, Steve. I mean, to be in the same, you know, in the Congress, in the there, and not to even say anything, it's certainly telling for sure. But I don't know. We'll see. I agree. The fuse is lit on their credibility.
To me, the most telling is RFK. Talk about somebody that was neutered before he even came to office. I mean, before he came to office, yeah, if you're at the FDA, pack your bags. What did the FDA do before he was, like, the day he was confirmed? They passed a deal for mRNA for poultry and for livestock. And what has he done since he's been in there? Oh, we have to address anti-Semitism. It's a disease. Okay, yeah, we know who the fuck you work for. And I'm going to give Dr. Shiva the win on that one, because he's been just brutal about RFK in the past couple of weeks. And he's right. He's right. He has nothing good to say about the Kennedys, and that's bearing fruit right now. I don't know. I could be surprised. When Cash was confirmed, I was hopeful that I was going to see some real change, right? And I may still, because as far as I'm concerned, everybody in the counterintelligence unit here in Phoenix, they all need to be fucking fired, because the counterintelligence unit here is the ones that came up with the domestic terrorist bullshit back in 2009 when Obama came to town. Every one of those bastards needs to be walked out of the fucking building, denied their retirement, and thrown in fucking prison for treason. Because I can tell you, that's exactly where the Patriot Front came from. That's exactly where all the agitators on January 6th came from. And that's exactly where all the dirty deeds have come from, is that unit. They're the people that penned the paper that said American patriots were the biggest threat to this country. They all need to go, without exception.
100%.
And, you know, I don't know. Ral, I know you got some thoughts on this, so I'm just gonna let you talk for a while.
Ral, you there?
Hello, Ral. Gonzo.
Bueller. Yep, got nothing.
His mic.
Can you hear me now?
There you go.
There I am. Okay. You covered a whole lot of territory in a short period of time. Well, I shouldn't say short. It was 24 minutes of me sitting quiet listening. Yeah, I agree. The perp should have been walked during the State of the Union. The man that, good old Mr. Green, shaking his little staff, should have been not just walked out, but put on a plane and sent to Gitmo and said, let's look into you. Who are you? But and I keep telling everybody this, and I think everybody thinks I'm just smoking dope or something, but if you look at all the black hats that are surrounding Trump, and the fact that they're everywhere, in every organization that he has, America First, Trump Investments, Trump Real Estate, Trump Properties, Trump this, Trump that, the MAGA movement, every organization that is connected with Trump is loaded with black hats. And if we're going to think that we're going to do something other than what, you know, than be a lapdog to Israel, but then we're just stupid. And, you know, the Epstein file, and you got to go back to it. And I know we keep telling everybody you got to pick up the book Pawns in the Game, because you got to read in there. There's a number of chapters that talk about this in depth, and that is they build dossiers on people. I mean, that's what Hoover did. You build dossiers on people, and then you know how to control them. You find out what their weak points are. I mean, this is what we did in the military, right? You look at the enemy's vulnerabilities, you figure out where they're weakest, and that's where you go after them. So I would lay 10 to 1 odds that every single one of those black robes has a dossier, and it's exposed, and it tells everybody exactly where their weak point is. Is it their grandkids? Is it their kids? Is it their property? Is it their money? Is it their power? What is it? And they've got it on them. And so when, you know, somebody brings something to the Supreme Court, they're not thinking about the country. They're thinking about their grandkids and the fact that they've been threatened. And they'll be killed if they don't vote the right way. Right? It's not smoke and mirrors. It's freaking for real. And so the problem that we realize that we're being shown right now is the fact that everybody says, oh, Trump, 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 Trump. And, you know, I've been very leery, and I keep telling everybody, I'm going to watch and I'm going to wait. I'm going to watch. I'm going to wait. And sure enough, Bondi fell on her sword. That's it. Right. So that's done. Right. The Supreme Court fell on her sword. That's done. Right. How many things have to happen before people realize that you got a lot of smoke blown in your face and up your butt? Right. And, you know, how far do we have to go before we all realize that we've been duped? Right. That's how I feel right now. I feel like we've been all been duped. We've all been led down the primrose path, and now they're going to take the lemmings and take us over the cliff, right? We're just too damn freaking trusting and easy.
Well, over. I agree. I wholeheartedly agree with that. And, you know, so I want to go back to something real quick while I'm thinking about it, because I made this point to Bill earlier, and I wanted to make this point to the group. I've seen the other thing I'm seeing right now is a lot of predictive programming. They are preparing the world for an event. I don't know what that event is, but was it last night, Bruce, that Alex Jones and Stephen Greer on?
Right.
Yeah. Guy's completely full of shit. But Greer came on and said, you know, there's going to be disclosure this spring, right? He said that before, right? 100 fucking times. But the fact that he's on Alex Jones and they're digging into it is the first part. And then, Dave, I listened to that Jack Cruz interview that you sent me. And Jack Cruz talks about how people with a traumatic brain injury or PTSD and some other brain issues can be manipulated by what they're spraying in the air, by vaccines, whatever's in the vaccines, and whatever's in supplements. And literally, they can be activated by a certain signal or whatever. If you go back to the movie, the series Zero Day, part of the premise of the series was that there was a CIA program that was running that used traumatic brain injuries or PTSD to send a signal, a low frequency signal to somebody that would create voices in their head. Tell me that's not fucking predictive programming, that they're trying to tell us they've got that technology and that there's some kind of a major activation that's going to, I don't know what the event is going to be, but it sure, I've seen all these narratives come together now, and they're sure beating the drum on UFOs. They're sure beating the drum on UAPs. They're sure beating the drum on mind control. I mean, it's been constant for the last 3 weeks. And then when you couple it with everything I'm seeing in the middle in the administration, which is left-handed and right-handed masturbation, I don't see anything else other than they know something's coming and they're fucking stalling.
Well, let me just say this about Cruz's comments. The way I interpreted that was he was saying they were actively looking to determine how to influence people of different types, people who had a lot of melanin in their system, melanin in their skin. Dark-skinned people are more naturally resistant, and so they had to find ways to break down their resistance and reduce the blood-brain barrier so they could get chromium and other heavy metals and things into their system, and particularly into parts of their brain. So furthermore, I think he was suggesting that the PTSD and some of that stuff, the words, people hearing voices in their heads and stuff like that, were a result of, you know, some of the government mind control programs, not necessarily from combat. That's how I interpreted what he was saying. In fact, he went so far as to say he quit one practice and went to work in, I think it was Hattiesburg, just so he could interview people and do examinations on people, both on their way over to theater and upon return from theater. So he was collecting data in that regard.
Can we get the link to that interview back in the chat so that other people can see it?
Yeah, no problem. I just forwarded that to my wife this evening, as a matter of fact. But his, you know, his point was, we're all vulnerable. They were taking more extraordinary steps to find out how to make everyone vulnerable. And that's where you saw Bill Gates and some of these programs on the continent of Africa and South America, with chemical contaminants from aerosol spraying from jetliners to some of the vaccine programs, any number of things that would affect people's systems, they were very active and aggressive with. And they felt that they had turned the corner in that endeavor sufficiently that they could take a number of dark-skinned people from Central and South America, bring them up into our country, and they had sufficient influence and control that they could basically stockpile them in strategic locations where the globalists thought they may be necessary in the future. And for anyone who asked the question, why dark-skinned people? I think it's a matter of a process of elimination, because what you're not going to see is, you're not going to see people from Greenland and Iceland and Scandinavian countries being brought over here to somehow fight against Americans. Culturally, that just wouldn't happen. They were looking for people perceived as being have-nots. And, I think that had as much to do with it as color of skin or anything like that. Not sure if I addressed your question there, Steve, but again, that's how I interpreted Cruz's comments.
Yeah, I heard part of that interview before. I need to go back and listen to it more. Everything Cruz says is like, you know, super critical information, I think.
Well, I think he's right. We've got to look around. You look at they're contaminating everything from, you know, processed. Well, in fact, that was one of the subheadings of his subjects, was processed food helps break down your blood-brain barrier, your gut lining, and things like that. So you're intaking or absorbing chemicals into parts of your body that it's not designed to take, mm-hmm. which in turn makes you more vulnerable. It's almost, in a sense, it's almost like reducing your immune system. But in this case, we're not talking about bacterial infection. We're talking about power of mental suggestion. And I was just gonna add on, and he said he listed an example of a Chinese billionaire who had pretty much been manipulated and given up something like half a billion or a billion and a half Bitcoin or something.
Yeah, 1.7 billion.
Yeah.
That was the figure he threw out.
Yeah. It was really substantial.
And, it wouldn't be I just, you know, I listened to that interview and, you know, we really are fighting a battle, the battle for the mind. That's what we really are fighting.
Absolutely.
And he brings it home, right? And it's part of the prepper movement that, you know, I posted this a couple of days ago and people lost their fucking minds like everything else. But part of the prepper movement, right? We're preparing for this EMP event or nuclear event that could still happen. Right. But I think the probability of that is very low. What I think is more probably realistic is, you know, exactly what they did in COVID, this mass psychosis that something really bad is happening, but it's all bullshit. And they've used these chemicals and these drugs to manipulate people into buying it, but it's still bullshit.
Well, look at the series Zero Day, like you already mentioned, was a perfect example of that. I mean, even in the series, the level of cyber attacks they have is really not that great. It's just enough to induce, you know, the reaction that is needed. And that's the same with COVID. If you could say the same thing with the Europeans, with their whole fascination with Putin, like, I mean, it to me, it's just, you know, Europe's being overrun by Muslims, but all the Europeans are worried that Putin's going to invade, you know, Luxembourg. And yet the Russians haven't even managed to get more than about 150 miles into Ukraine. So in 3 years, so they're certainly not a threat to anyone west of Poland. You know, and it's just the same kind of thing we constantly see, you know, low level psyops, or look at the drones, look at the UAPs, same stuff, all the same kind of, just enough to get people to react the way they want.
And that's let me collect my thoughts here. That's where my head's at, right? Is on that aspect of it, because that, you know, get away from the Europeans, that they're the UK. If they don't go into civil war, I'll be surprised. Ireland's lost, and you know, I'd love to say they're not, but the truth of the matter is, come on, the stabbings that are going on, the crime, the gang rapes, and the police are doing. That's the part that gets me, right? How can you be a British cop, watch all of these gang rapes taking place, and then go after the victim? What rationalization can you make up in your head to make that shit okay?
You don't think that's going to happen here? You really don't think that's going to happen here?
It will.
I think it's already happened here. I just don't think it is that bad.
Well, like everybody said all along, right? They're preparing us. They've been preparing society for the past 50 years. They've been prepping everything. They've been developing the technologies. They've been developing the procedures. They've been developing the way to manipulate. And they did a pretty damn good job of it over the last 4 years. And they proved it out. And because they proved it out, now they're pretty damn confident, right? So any of us, and I'm going to go back to the clergy plan to eliminate white people, and people need to understand that piece of it too. That's been in motion for a long time. And yeah, is Ireland gone? I don't know. I don't know. That's one thing I keep watching and I keep praying, because I've got Celtic blood in me, and you know, hence my name, and you know, get us pissed off, and there's a point where we all get into this red rage, right? And it's called berserker mode, right? The problem with berserker mode is it's berserker. It's uncontrollable, and it's just, you know, I'm killing everything in front of me, right? It's the guy you want in front. Right, it's a guy you want to take all the bullets, because they're not going to stop him until there's nothing left. You know, the blood's all drained out of him because, you know, he didn't patch up the 15 holes he had because he was busy killing 40 people, right? But the problem with that is once you get to that stage, it gets really bad. And it, I feel like that's what they're pushing. And there was a somebody sent out a great meme, which I should have copied and saved it, that basically said, you know, when governments try and prevent civil war, what they really do is they lay the groundwork for it to happen.
That was
and that's Booper. What I'm looking at.
That was Bill Booper.
Yeah, yeah. And frickin' A, I think it's happening. Over.
Mm-hmm. The other thing, I mean, to the point, Steve, you were making about the cops in the UK and Ireland, I mean, I know this. I've read this about Nazi Germany in my education. The German police that were 100%, most of them not Nazis, not part of the SA, they all went along. Because in the end, police are about order over everything. Order and following orders and getting their retirement. And at the bottom line, that's who they are. And that's what was shown in Germany. Every single one defended the Nazi regime, even though none of the vast majority were not Nazis.
I got a lot of emotions to that, but I'll just say this. I was reading a story today about a 14-year-old British girl was lured into some guy's house, and she was repeatedly raped, repeatedly sodomized, and then they stuck a pistol inside of her and ripped it out of her and caused a bunch of internal bleeding. If I would have been a cop and seen that, those guys would have mysteriously resisted and died.
Right.
A very painful, loud, grotesque death. But instead, they slapped him on the wrist and put him back out on the street. That's reprehensible as far as I'm concerned. There's no excuse for that shit.
It's like concentration camp guards. I'm just doing my job.
Yeah, that's exactly how I see it.
But let me ask you this, right? So that happened. The police put him back on the street. Why in the world would not the entire village rise up and hang that person and their whole fucking family in the city square with a sign that says, "This is not permitted here"?
I don't know.
But you would think that's the part I don't get. If evil to a girl and nobody stands up to it, there's something wrong. And this is where it goes back to what Dr. Cruz said. And I listened to the whole thing, which, man, he covers a whole lot of stuff in a short period of time. You almost have to, you know, sit down, listen to it two or three times, take lots of notes. But the key thing is they've figured out how to take men and turn them into bushes. And, you know, I know this sounds, you know, pretty negative, but the question is, and I'll throw this out to frickin' everybody, and that is, do you have the spine? Do you have the backbone? Do you have the internal fortitude and the mental and spiritual strength that when this happens in your town, you frickin' rise up, and if the town leadership backs the evil people, you hang them with them. That's what it's gonna come down to. Or we're all gonna be slaves, and we're gonna just be happy little Goya, owning nothing, being happy, and serving the black hats. I mean, it's that simple. It is that freaking simple, and I don't know how to get that across to people. Over.
Yeah, I got nothing. There's no shortage of stupid out there. I mean, Jesus, just drive around Phoenix when the snowbirds are here. It's an epidemic of stupid, punctuated with, wait, what? So, yeah. I you would think people would be tuned into that, and I just don't see it. And that's the part that, you know, I think
Steve, just to explain one thing, one of the comments Cruz makes, and you're hitting right at it, because we all scratch our heads and ask ourselves, why is it this way? We can't even believe this. And if you look at, you know, 50 years ago, it would not have been this way. People would have taken action. And, you know, part of Cruz's point is, one of his major points is that there is broad scale influence in our population from low dopamine levels and basically downstream effects of MK Ultra research that enables the Democrats to get, you know, fairly large numbers of votes in the polls. Whereas, you know, if you would have taken a look 30 years ago at the values, the social norms, the thing, just everything that society looks at, talked about people twerking in classrooms in front of kindergarten students, to everything destroying the family, to, well, you name it, all of the moral relativism that we face, to, you know, lesbian and gay generals and admirals, 85-90% of the public would have voted staunchly against it. Today, it's you know, 45-55, or it's close, but they get a lot of people because of these brain influencing technologies that influence the polls flat out.
I think they're just retarded.
Well, that retardation has been enhanced.
I think it's the anonymity of modern life that allows this. People don't feel like, people live their life through media and the news, and they see themselves as independent from what they see on the news, is my impression. And then that's why people also don't rise up and do anything, like Raoul's saying, unless, you know, perhaps, I would think in small town USA, what Raoul's talking about would still be there. But I think in big cities, you know, we've already been conditioned for freaking decades to, you know, endless terrible crime in just about any big city in the United States. I think it's conditioning. It's like Pavlov's dog.
Yeah, it's conditioning. It's propaganda. It's low dopamine levels. It's probably technologies that they have that nobody's actually talked about as well.
Fluoride in the water. I mean, endless things.
Yeah. Yeah, but they've definitely look at in human biology. Male reproduction capability, testosterone levels, things like that. We know it's biologic fact that all of that has been severely reduced over the past, 40 years.
Somebody's, it's the whole creation of the Metro Man, right? The Metro Man, the guy that is happy to go and watch opera, and, you know, we got to do that, and pink is okay, and that's the conditioning. They've eradicated, you know, and I've heard people say, well, you know, it can be turned on, testosterone can come back, you know, emergencies and stress and all kinds of things. I'm not sure that we're not already down the toilet. I'm not sure.
Well, I think it was Burlingame saying that on the discussion with Bracken. They had that argument there for a little while. And I mean, I think there's some truth to what he was saying, but there's also truth in what you're saying, Raoul. And what I see it is it takes the understanding, you have to have some testosterone to know that you need to boost your testosterone. And if you've already lost it all, if you're already in metrosexual land or whatever, effeminate, you know, gay guy land, you're not looking to do anything about it. That's the problem, as I see it.
Well, what about, take a look at England. Take a look at Ireland. Is it too late for them? What's their excuse? And a lot of people were saying, unless there's a really violent civil war, that their culture is, you know, derived from Angles and Saxons and Jutes, is pretty much done.
Well, Bracken's covered that in detail, and I think the issue in Ireland is just one of numbers. Like, I've been, you know, in the decades, I've been many times in the UK, a fair amount of times in Ireland in the last couple of years, and you definitely see more, you know, real men in Ireland than in the UK, is my impression, in general. But like, it compared to when I would go to Europe 30 years ago in college and stuff, I you would see many more, you know, normal men running around Europe, and, you know, 30 years later, flying into the UK, you know, and numerous, you know, guys I've worked with, we've had the same realization. We're walking around London like, dude, did everybody take estrogen pills here for 30 years? Like, what happened? I mean, it's freaking glaringly obvious. And it's also present in the US. I mean, it's like you've already mentioned with what Cruz has talked about, you know, it's through all the processed foods, all the estrogenic chemicals, all the radiation,
blue light toxicity,
everything,
working indoors.
It's just been a nonstop campaign to destroy testosterone in Western males, basically. And
yeah, I'd agree with that. Look, I want to clarify something so everybody knows what we're talking about. We're not, so I know a lot of people that are gay. I don't have a problem with them because most of them are not a part of the 1% of the community that's saying you have to celebrate us, you have to register, you have to adhere to our pronouns, you have to know what we want to be called. They're not part of that group, right? But we're also not talking about the extreme group either. We're talking about the man buns in the middle that have been affected through all of, like we're saying, the chemicals and everything else, right? Like, I went
just to the average guy.
Oh yeah, you go like, I'll just say it straight out. I work with a lot of people in the UK as part of my day job, and most of the men that I talk to, they're all cucks. All of them are just fucking cucks, gutless turds. Every single fucking one of them, and they're brainwashed liberals. Most of them. And you listen to them and you're like, you have no basis in reality. You're completely divorced from reality. None of that's true. But they have a perception that everything is fine. And it's the downstream effects of a highly effective propaganda campaign. They literally believe nothing's wrong and that it's isolated instance in the country. And there's specific parts of the country that are still really good. Like, you're fucking retarded. You're all retarded.
Mm-hmm.
And look, if you're in the UK right now and you're listening to me, you're fucking retarded. You should have picked up arms 2 years ago and run that dope-eared motherfucking king down and hung that son of a bitch. How's a fucking Muslim ceremony in Windsor Castle? What the fuck? What more do you need to see that this guy's a Muslim? What the fuck? My God. How many different indicators do you have right in front of you before you fucking do something? My God, at least here in the US, I could tell you unequivocally that as of November, everybody was waiting for November 6th to wake up and Trump lost because they were all ready to pick up arms. They were ready to run these people down. We were all prepared for civil war or revolution. That's what we were all prepared for. And if any of you out there think I'm kidding, you're fucking lying to yourself. Every single one of us thought this was going to be kinetic. Everybody thought it was going kinetic.
And it still might. We're not
it
out of
the woods. I mean,
I think it's an event. It's almost an inevitability if things don't change decisively.
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. And the thing that part of what prompted this roundtable today was, you know, every time Trump or somebody in the administration does something stupid, it literally, I get barraged from people saying, you have to talk about this, you have to talk about this, you have to talk about this. And the reality is his actions say everything you need to know very, very clearly. You know who he's beholden to now. That's very clear. You know who his cabinet is beholden to because they've all said it. In fact, I'm almost convinced that part of their confirmation process is they have to go on TV and say, we have to protect Israel as a part of their acceptance.
Well, I'm not holding my breath that things are going to change. I'm hopeful that there's been a certain amount of going along just to get your foot in the door. I think Trump had to make, you know, we talked about this several months ago. Trump was going to have to make certain deals just to be able to get elected. Obviously, he did that. Question is, how compromised is he? And how secure does he feel once he gets the remainder of his cabinet in place? Once he's a little more reestablished, going to be willing to take any decisive action independent of the Zionists? We don't know that. He might, but he might not. You know, in which case is his 4 years essentially going to be kicking the can down the road to the next option? And meanwhile, the guys of our generation, who are the last people who know what right looks like, you know, we're going to be aging out.
Right.
We're going to be aging out. And maybe in retrospect, you know, the oligarchs from either side looked back and said, yeah, maybe we don't want to take on these guys just yet. Maybe we want to let them age another 5-10 years when they're going to be a lot less capable and, you know, have a lot more health issues.
I think that's certainly possible.
Oh, I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. But I think there's more to it than that. I think the flip side of that is they knew that their technocratic system was not ready yet. And I think that they are trying to frantically get it done now. I mean, what the tell is the fact that the Palantir CEO sold $10 billion worth of stock. Nothing says we're ready for an event like that. At least that's how it comes across. Maybe I'm, you know, reading too much into it, but it sure seems like that.
Well, I still think that there's pending disclosure of certain high-tech items that could have truly monumental impact on society. Things like, you know, different types of energy generation, different types of clean, efficient energy propagation, most especially things like anti-gravimetrics. I think there's a lot of technology along those lines that we're either there or very, very, very close to having in hand that make control that much more difficult for any oligarch, whether they're techies or, you know, amongst the old 13 Venetian families. But I also think that a guy like Jack Cruz, who had really better be careful about his own security, you know, he's on podcasts almost every week. He's got new podcasts where he's being interviewed, sometimes a couple a week. And he's reaching more and more people. There's more and more people health-wise that are waking up to, you know, the ill effects of non-native EMF and, you know, blue light toxicity, lack of full spectrum, lack of UVA, UVB, all of this stuff. He's not the only guy in that arena. He's helped leading the charge, but there's more and more of that coming out. And a lot of that is a reflection of the last 50 years or 60 years of dedicated research on the part of DARPA and the globalists to rein in and control large portions of our society. And the more people who wake up, the more people who realize it's not safe to get any vaccine at this point, more people that realize that every single pharmaceutical out there on every shelf in every pharmacy contains high levels of chromium and other heavy metals that break down blood-brain barrier. Well, he made the comment, it's not just the SV40, simian virus 40, that makes a vaccine or something else toxic. It's the stabilizers, it's the fill that they put into many of these chemicals, many of these drugs in the background that nobody pays attention to. It's not just the stuff that you see on the label, but it's all detrimental. And the more people that figure that out, the better able we're going to be more capable of resisting. So how fast they have to be in their timetable, I'm sure that's a sliding scale. But it's one of those things that they monitor all the time. They're continually updating their own intelligence position on that, their threat matrix, so to speak.
I would agree. To a point, I agree, right? I think some of this stuff, and I want to go back to something we talked about, Trump. But part of my issue with the whole Trump thing is they did enough pre-planning to know that they needed to cut off all of the financial systems that the intelligence agencies and, let's just say, the nefarious actors in the government could use to fund counter operations, you know, BLM, et cetera, right? I refuse to believe that they didn't have a high value target list of people they needed to roll up as a part of this bigger operation to take down, you know, let's just say the satanic cabal, for lack of a better word, what these people are, because they're messaging that they're going to go after Schiff and Cheney and Kissinger and Obama and crew, right? And maybe they will, but Bondi hasn't done anything that's really good, has you know, endeared the public to her, right? In fact, if anything, she's turned the public in the opposite direction. Everybody had a lot of hope when she came in, and now that's evaporated. And I refuse to believe that they didn't pre-plan some of that, and they didn't think through some of that.
Well, we're going to talk for another hour.
No, I'll talk for another 2 hours, Ralph. That was great timing to add you in when you're in the middle of the conversation.
Sorry. I sat there for a while. I drove past some town, and when I did, it dropped me. I got right back on again, but I couldn't get vaccinated. And probably going to drop again here shortly. And it gets really bad, but as soon as I get to a place, I'll dial back in again. Something I want to throw out there for people to think about, and that is, and I'm going to go back a bit in the conversation, and that is, in World War One and World War Two, they did a fantastic job of taking all of the masculine men and ripping them apart and destroying them on the battlefield. We're now watching the same thing with the Slavic men on both sides in Ukraine. And so I think that what they need is they need to do the same thing here. And the real question is, how are they going to pull that off? And those of us who listen to the interview with Mike and a coffee and a mic the other day, and that is that there's going to be a choke point. When that choke point occurs, and you mentioned this a lot about, you know, the preparedness, be prepared, be prepared, be prepared. And Dave, you brought this up, and that is we have to awaken people. People need to understand, you know, what you're eating, what you're breathing, what you're watching. You know, how close are you to a 5G tower? What are you doing to protect your eyes and your eyesight and your skin and your health? To ensure that you're the survivor. Your family is going to be the survivor. So we have to pay attention to that, and we have to keep sending the message out to be that, to be those people. Prepare your family to run exercises, to defend yourself, learn how to defend yourself, put all that together. And be aware that, you know, the worst thing that you can do is freaking watch TV. I think that was one of the biggest things that for my family coming out of COVID is we just stopped watching TV. It's like, you know what? Fear porn, yeah, ain't happening here, right? I don't care what you want to send down those TV cable waves, and I'm not watching, I'm not listening. But I am talking to folks like you, and we're passing information back and forth. And, you know, Dave introduced me to Cruz, and I've listened to a couple of his things, and I highly recommend everybody do that if you haven't. And we have to get out of, there was a guy, and I can't remember his name. I'm trying to remember this guy's name, and I can't remember his name. But he had this analogy of being in the trench. He said, when you're in the trench, that's all you see is the trench. He said, you got to get up out of the trench and look around and go, oh, there's a different world out here. All I know is the trench. And so you live in the trench, and you got to get out of the trench. And when you get out of the trench and you see the real world, all of a sudden your perspective changes incredibly.
Well, and that's like what we got to do. Plato's cave. You're describing Plato's cave.
It is, but I think it's different. I think the trench is a more, you know, you're in the trench with everybody. Everybody's marching in the trench. Everybody's walking in the trench, and all you see is the walls of the trench and whatever you're being told in the trench. It's probably more along the lines of 1984.
Well, that's exactly what Plato's cave is that you see the world as a bunch of shadows moving on the wall in a cave from the firelight, but you don't actually see the real actors. It's a similar kind of thing, but the exact same concept. You know, I was going to tie together what you were just saying, Raw, with what Steve was saying before he came back on. And this occurred to me while you were talking, Steve, was in every revolution, like if you look at the Russian Revolution in 1917, it was preceded by Tsar Nicholas actually loosened restraints on people in Russia. He actually tried to pursue, I can't remember the exact things, but he pursued reform. But that actually gave then the revolutionaries the space they needed to start to grow and become more threatening to the regime. And I believe that's been the case in many other revolutions in history. And I think that, you know, whether Trump is, you know, a Zionist controlled puppet or what, the thing is that he was elected overwhelmingly by a populist movement, and that populist movement isn't fake. It's real. And they can try to do everything they can to undermine it, suborn it, whatever, but it's not fake. And I think that it's probably going to fail. Their attempt, it may succeed in the short term, but I think that they risk going down the same path of like Tsar Nicholas in some ways. But tying into what Ral said and a discussion we were having in our chat group today with Burlingame and discussions I've had with him and other things is that I think, and Burlingame hits on this, and him and Bracken were talking about this idea of crafting a civilization that has its own like immune system that can overcome these problems. And I believe, thinking about this today, talking with everyone, was that civilization springs first from the family and then from the tribe, you know, from the clan, whatever, and then into the nation and the civilization. And what I think the challenge, like what you were saying there, Ral, about being prepared, and Bracken talks about his goal is to get as many people through the bottleneck as possible. And Burlingame said he feels the same way. And I think that what all of us need to be thinking about is trying to make sure that we craft our own families. At least we can control that, and making our families strong enough and resilient enough that we can go through any chaos and emerge successful and yet still continue to grow and succeed. And if you look at the, you know, the Vikings as a case history, the Vikings were that way. And if you look at the current success that all the Muslim invaders are having, in many ways, they're that way. They are expanding their families, you know, having 17 wives and whatever, but they're growing, and like it or not. And the Vikings had a similar structure in the sense that they were clan-based, family-based. Their teamwork levels were insanely huge, and they grew through chaos. And I think the thing that's lost about I'm of Scandinavian heritage mostly, and I think the thing that's lost that I've always found interesting in all the different Viking shows they have is that the Vikings were not just about hack and slash. They would have never been as successful as they were if it was just about rape and pillage. It was because they had to have at least some of their culture was appealing to others, that they had other aspects to their culture, or they would not have dominated, you know, so many events in Europe for 400 or 500 years. And so the reason I say that is because they had other appealing things. And I think teamwork and a lot of things, if you look at the modern world today, that, you know, basically became the English speaking world, was built on a model that not that much different than what the Vikings brought into existence in their trade and everything else, not just in war, you know, raping, pillaging, and wars. So anyway, to return to my basic thing, it's that if we can look at how the Vikings built families, and it's shown in even like the Vikings TV series, it's like, you know, Ragnar had two different wives and had kids from all of them, yet he loved all of them and built that family and built the powerhouse that was, you know, in history. And this same thing is what we need to reestablish in the West, in America, in the English civilization, is we need to reestablish the primacy of our own families and building our families to endure all of our human frailties and failures and everything that the Zionist, globalist, you know, satanic cabal has done has been to tear down families. I mean, at the basic thing, they've tried to destroy families. They've done it to every part of our society. You know, you could say they started with, you know, the black culture, destroying that with welfare. And really, I think that's where this battle lies, and it will give us the tools to defeat, you know, this technocratic tyranny that we see coming, Steve, that you've talked about. Anyway, that's my
I think there's a couple of facets to that that you're touching on, right? We need to get back to masculine males. We need to get back to, you know, masculine families. We need to get back. And Burlingame talked about that in his interview with Mike Ferris. And he talked about, you know, his premise is we need to remove women from power. And he goes on to say that, you know, if you watch a group of boys in middle school, they act differently than girls. And girls, from the time they're in middle school all the way through adulthood, they spend all their time ripping other women apart. And okay, there's some truth to that. I'm not sure how much of that I agree with, but his point's valid, right? There's a subculture in our society that has been propagated throughout the last 30 years that you have to tear people apart, that either you're jealous of or whatever the case may be, right? Envy's been propagated throughout our society. At the same time, men have been told that if, you know, and they've used the nationalist card, right? If you're a nationalist, that's how the Nazis came to power, right? I mean, what we're seeing right now, which does give me hope, is you're seeing people openly saying they're nationalists. They're America first nationalists. They want America first. That's not a bad thing. As much as they want to tell you it is, it's really not. Because it means that you're identifying with our culture as it was, you know, 200 years ago, right? And look,
yes,
criminality, fraud, you know, rich people, elite, they've been around forever. But what's different now from the start of the 20th century until now is that you have people that have means that are beyond everyone else and they're above the law. In order for our society to build an immune system, we have to dismantle the upper crust to the point where there's no upper crust. There's a glass ceiling that everybody hits and they go no further. Because when you have people above the law, like Bill Gates and the rest, you have a society where a very few dictate how the masses operate, and there's no way to build an immune system. That is the virus. And you can call it what you want, but it's a virus. Because when you have that much money, when you have that much influence, your predilection for fetishes and let's just say
perversions.
Thank you. That's couldn't think of the word. It moves to an exponential number, and your value system completely changes. They say money corrupts. It really does. I've seen it in a multitude of high-tech companies where the founders got paid out and they had, you know, tremendous sums of money. They completely changed. And if you want to build an immune system that's resilient to this, you have to get back to masculine families with masculine males. That's how our society is that's part of the DNA of our society, like it or not. And this concept of, you know, we have to get rid of toxic masculinity. Guess what? It's human nature. It goes back to the time when we were cavemen. You're not gonna breed that out. Like you could breed a tiger in captivity, but you can't breed the raw animal out of them. And we have this concept that if we just, and again, this is how the elite think, right? This is part of the problem. They drink their own Kool-Aid long enough, then they start to believe their own bullshit. They literally think that they can dumb down society and they can breed out that part of our society. It's in our DNA. And unless we take that back and get back to a place where we have a, masculine male family where men are actually, you know, protecting their family and leading their family, guess what? This problem will persist, but at the same time, we have to dismantle these elite families, whatever 13 or whatever they are, they have to go away. Full stop. And,
right. And like Burlingame talks about the idea that like of English civilization is a combination of like 8 or 9 ethnic identifiable groups, you know, of all the different makeup of the English Isles, the British Isles. But that he calls it a dysfunctional family where we all fight amongst each other. But as soon as someone else attacks the whole, we all attack. It's like, you're not going to hit my brother. I am. But if you hit my brother, I'm killing you. You know, that kind of thing. And I think that one thing I'm trying to get at, I think you were just touching on it, is like, for the people out there, is that, you know, no one is saying you have to be the perfect family. We're everyone has got dysfunctional issues in their family. And so it's not like you're the perfect family. The idea is that there's love of the family, no matter how dysfunctional. You try to save everyone, you bring everyone along. And if that means you've got, you know, stepsons and stepdaughters and half kids and half brothers and sisters and whatever, it's like, no, they're all part of the family. Everybody defends the family. And that's where I think men have somewhat been led astray, is they've disappeared out of, you know, from divorce and whatever. And what I would say is the challenge to all of us, to all everyone out there who we all have dysfunctional families in some way, is in spite of our dysfunctionality, we have to start saving everyone. Everyone's important because they're all family.
Ideally, that sounds good, but you're talking about, and again, I think this goes back to our conversation about, I think revolution is on the horizon, no matter what we do, some form right. of it, right? Whether it's revolution against the elites, whether it's revolution against, you know, the liberal mind virus, whether it's liberation against, you know, a technocratic system, just take your flavor, right? I think it's on the horizon. And maybe you're right. Maybe they are waiting for us to age out. But at the end of the day, the one thing that most people have forgotten is who we are. And part of it's been actually, the history books have been changed. I mean, I think it's very interesting that the conversation that's going on right now across the entire country is that World War II history was rewritten to the point where it's not believable anymore. This, the conversation about the Holocaust, not that many Jews died, right. and it was more Christians than Jews. I mean, that, no matter what's where it? You stand on that yeah. Aspect, I can't remember Daryl's last name, but Daryl said it the best. The religion of the state dictates that we believe this. And right. how much of the religion of the state that we're listening to right now, when we've bought into over the last 80 years, that was completely fabricated. I'd sure like to know what that is. Because if people are allowed to do a deep dive into history and see actually what Winston Churchill really did, to see what decisions were really made in the moment, and to discern which decisions were made in the moment because of events and which decisions were made in the moment because of an outcome that they were trying to steer towards. And if you listen to or read Smedley Butler's book, that was written, what, 33? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's talking about the exact problem that started World War II in 1933. So he already saw it on the horizon 7 years before the war started. And
right. Well, know, even like, if you look at World War II, I mean, let's just say, I mean, that people now are debating the Holocaust numbers, but even let's just say you took it on the face of it, 6 million Jews. Let's just say that's truth. I don't know. But at the same time, there were 20 million other Europeans killed through World War II. The Soviet communists killed like what? 25 million Russians, Christians. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Look at the Chinese communists. They killed, Mao killed what, 100 million Chinese? I mean, the death has been spread in the 20th century was across the board, across civilizations, and the Jews were just part of it. You know, it's not like they were the only ones who were persecuted and massacred. No, there were millions and millions and millions of people all over the place that were slaughtered, and mostly by communists.
Yeah, I think there was, I guess my point of saying that in the first place is that it's very clear that there's a certain view of World War II that we have to believe, and it's been propagated throughout the education system. Right. Like, one of the things that's going on in education right now is they don't want boys to be boys. They're hardcore, full court press to make them all cucks and make them all you know, man bun wearing, you know, emotional, you know, and that's not who, you know, boys are. But if you couple that with the food and the education system, you can see how we got here, right? It's long running. And let me just ask you this. How many guys do you know with issues from testosterone? I've had issues since 2006, since I came back from the desert. Like, I finally got my testosterone tested in 2009 after I had fucking stress fractures in my shins from running. And I couldn't figure out what was going on. Like, I'd go work out and just be wiped out. And so I finally went to see a doctor. He's like, we should test your testosterone, right? Like, who even thinks of that? And, you know, I was in my early 40s. And here we are. It's right. But I don't know, even my nephews are all having issues with testosterone. And you look at the
amount. I mean, I've got some ideas on how to fix that other than just the medical things, but
part of it's protein, part of it is not eating soy products, part of it is not, you know,
right,
overloading on processed foods and chemicals. So Dave turned me on to the root cause protocol, what, 2 years ago, Dave? Year and a half ago?
Dave? Dave's on here.
Anyway, a couple of years ago now. And I started doing it diligently, right? I only did phase one. There's like three phases of it. And I did phase one where you do the cow liver, you do the magnesium, and you do the boron, and you do a couple others, right? Completely changed the way I feel, like completely. And I could tell you that just the magnesium alone, and it takes a while to get up to the dosage they want you to take every day, but I can tell you it's night and day different. And just like including Cruise's red light, you know, blue light blocking lenses, I'm telling you, it's night and day. Changed my sleep patterns overnight. And you know, I've still struggled with weight loss and metabolism and a few other things, but for the most part, I feel better. And I can tell you, when I eat processed food, I feel like dog shit.
Right.
I eat fresh stuff. I don't eat anything processed if I can avoid it.
I found
what I do. Like, I don't eat fast food at all. That shit makes me violently ill now.
Right. What I would plug is the carnivore diet. I've noticed if people want to shed pounds and get leaner and meaner, the carnivore diet is super great. And then once you've achieved your goals, then go into like a keto diet, which focuses on whole foods like you're talking about. But Burley Game has kind of hinted at this, but I've noticed myself, just throwing, since we're talking about this subject, is you can do a lot to boost your testosterone with or at least your perceived testosterone with sunlight exposure, like Cruz talks about, like you said, the red light thing and the blue light blocking. But you can also do a lot just like physical pain, like punching a punching bag. But then also, if you look into, there's a Chinese Qigong, there's different guys that like the Buddhist monks that like beat themselves with sticks and stuff. It, by hitting yourself, you can actually elicit a lot of testosterone, if you know, or fighting or whatever. But and also changing how you exercise, like doing things that require more testosterone, getting to peak exertion, and some of these things are hard to do with weights per se. Sometimes you're better off with using either things like, you know, practice swords or hitting walls. I found in the past that I would get a whole lot of benefit out of, like, if you can find a concrete post and actually hit the concrete post with your, you know, your palms of your hands, your fists, and your shins, and building up that way. I've noticed whenever I did that, I would get a huge burst of energy. It's just my anecdotal ideas on this, but I do think you can train some of this back yourself just by willpower and exercise, the right kind of exercise.
Well, exercise definitely has a part of it, right? But I think another part of it's diet too. And our food for chain sure. is so heavily tainted with chemicals that
absolutely
it's amazing when you realize how much of it is tainted by chemicals. Like I had no idea until I started reading labels how much of our just like sugar, right? High fructose corn syrup, it's fucking terrible for you. You know, and that like Jack Cruz talks about the two the brother and sister that are talking about food and how it's a distraction. I think it's all interrelated, right? But for us to get back to a masculine society and build that immune system, we have to fix all those problems, the food, packaging, all of it. Dave, are you back or are you still on mute?
Huh. Wonder where he went. Another thing that feeds into that, I think, is if with all these issues, I keep seeing the Amish were always right. Like everything the Amish do, if you listen to Cruz, they do everything right according to what Jack Cruz says. And it also has to do, like, none of their kids have autism. None of their kids have all the issues that, because they're not vaxxed. They don't have any of this. They have 0% autism in Amish communities.
Well, yeah, that's because they're not taking 71 vaccines, you know.
All their food is free range, organic. Everything they do from, you know, the basic ground level nutrition.
Yeah. Yeah. We should wrap this up. We've been going for an hour and a half. I committed myself to keep this to an hour and a half. Any other thoughts on this topic at least?
No, I think that's pretty much it. I've pretty much said everything. I think that we just need to, like we talked about, and I really, Ian Burlingame has kind of come into our sphere of influence recently. And I think that, you know, he's got a lot of great ideas to share with people. So I'd urge people to look at him, his stuff. He's got a book out, The Art of Being a Man or whatever. And I actually was going through it and I'm sending it to my two sons that are in their 20s. Cause I thought there was actually a lot of really good points in that book. I think it's just, what we're having is, and we've all talked about this, but, and I think a lot of the viewers listening would have the same mindset, is that we need to self-organize as a civilization, as a culture. We have to self-organize ourselves back into units and teams and groups that are going to be able to survive chaos and make it through whatever the bottleneck that's coming is. And in doing that, we will succeed and we'll beat the enemy. That's all I got.
I would hope so. I mean, I'd call it a culmination point. I wouldn't call it a bottleneck. I'd just call it a culmination
point.
And that culmination point is going to weed out a lot of the weaker part of our society, like any other culmination point. But the piece that I'm waiting, like I said, you know, like Ross said, I'm waiting to see what these guys do, but I'm losing more and more faith that something's going to change on a daily basis. And, you know, I think we'll see a disruption if let's just say the UK does fall into revolution or civil war. We'll definitely see a disruption across the rest of the world because they won't be able to conduct the same level of operations they were conducting before. But that said, you know, it's going to be very turbulent to get to that point.
Well, I got something else to add, Steve, off of that. You know, I don't know if you saw it today. Other people might have seen on Naomi Seipt is a German alternative media person. She supports AFD. And she put out a link today that had some German media that was starting to say that, hey, maybe Germany needs to, declare the United States an enemy. And all of us, you know, think the globalists are an enemy of our country and of our people. And I think that if we see how far, it's not a big leap, mental leap to go from, hey, you're not supporting us in Ukraine and our globalist plans anymore. So now you're our enemy. That's a very short distance to go mentally. And I think that may actually cause a lot of, we'll see how delusional the Europeans really are. If they start to see, you know, the WEF pivot to try to make the enemy an enemy of the United States, I think that will fail. And that might elicit some rebellion in Europe. It might feed into English Civil War. We'll see.
I don't know. I think they're too brainwashed, but we'll see how it develops. I think at the end of the day, you know, we're going to go through our own culmination point here. Europe's going to go through their own culmination point. I don't think their bid to start nuclear war is going to work out for them, despite their best efforts. I think that's going to fall flat on its face. And I think it, at some point, we will see some kind of restructuring in Europe. But again, they'll have to deal with those elite families and those power brokers and the, you know, behind the scenes that have operated in the shadows. Whether that's the French family that's been, you know, surfaced in the last couple of weeks, or whether that's the Rothschilds or whoever that is, right? Those families need to be dealt with. And, you know, the disclosure piece around tech, if that happens and they don't keep control of it, which I don't think they're going to be able to, and they don't plan for all the different ways society will change, because society will change regardless of what they think and how they want to influence it, you know, that's always their Achilles heel, is that they think they can manage chaos and they can't. And that's where Raul was going when he was talking about that, was that you can't manage chaos.
Right.
Even your best efforts to manage chaos never works out well. So I'm hoping that they create chaos by disclosure, and that disclosure leads to their downfall. So whichever way it goes, we're definitely headed towards a culmination point. Whether it's violent, nonviolent, I don't know. But, you know, it depends on how desperate some of these players get along the way. But that said, I'm going to wrap it up. Admin notes. A lot of people ask me about the One Team, One Fight t-shirt. It's in the description. You can go out to Spreadshirt, order a t-shirt. There is the Substack that I'm posting to. I usually get one or two posts a week, so be looking for that. I'm trying to get more, but it's a time over function right now. So just leave that there. As far as when we'll be back, I'll be back on Monday with the situation report, and hopefully we put it together for Thursday and do another roundtable. Until then, God bless everyone. One team, one fight.